MSO, New Sports Baseball Insider. Andy Carboni is joining us here. Andy, welcome.
Happy to be back once again, Bill. The summer is rolling right along.
It is rolling. According to baseball, we're at the halfway point, more or less. But so what's up? Red Sox kind of getting ready to resume action here for the second half, right?
They certainly are. The All-Star break coming to a close tomorrow night as they return for a six-game road trip in Chicago, first of three against the Cubs. Sox then head to the West Coast and take on the A's for three games before returning to Fenway. So the Red Sox start the second half of the season riding a five-game winning streak. They've won eight of their last nine. They're 48-43, but they're still in last place in the AL East, nine games behind the Rays. But the Sox now just two games behind the Blue Jays for the last AL wildcard spot.
Andy, the Sox were red hot just prior to the All-Star break. I hope this doesn't cool them off too much.
Well, you like to keep things going when you're on a streak like this, that's for sure. We'll have to see what happens starting tomorrow night, but we'll wrap things up for when we last spoke on Thursday. The Red Sox beat the Rangers 10-6, wrapping up that three-game series. Sox scoring six runs in the seventh inning for the come-from-behind win. Former Sox starter Nathan Eovaldi gave up four runs in five of the third innings in his return to Fenway. Then on Friday, the A's came to town. Red Sox won 7-3. Nick Pivetta getting the win, going five innings of relief, allowing just two runs, struck out eight. Justin Turner, Jaron Duran, and Alex Verdugo each had two hits and drove in a run. Then on Saturday, the Red Sox pounded the A's 10-3. Jaron Duran at the forefront again, 3-for-5, a home run, 3 RBI. James Paxton allowed two runs in six innings for his fifth win of the season. Then the final game before the All-Star break was on Sunday, the Red Sox nipping the A's 4-3. Masataka Yoshida, home run in the bottom of the eighth, broke a three-all tie. Yoshida also became the first rookie in Sox history since Johnny Pesky in 1942 to have seven consecutive multi-hit games.
Wow. All right. There's a record that stood for a while, I believe. Yeah. All right. Hey, so Andy, what do we have for Red Sox player notes here in the past week? What can you share with us?
Well, the Red Sox did re-sign catcher Jorge Alfaro to a one-year deal. He was released by the Sox in spring training, but with the issues with injuries at catcher, he was brought back to the organization. Then on Sunday night, with the 14th overall pick in the 2023 amateur draft, the Sox selected catcher Kyle Teal from the University of Virginia. The overall pick, number one in the draft, went to the Pirates, and they selected pitcher Paul Skeens of LSU. Left-handed pitcher Thomas White of Rowley, who attended Phillips Academy in Andover, was selected by the Marlins with the 35th overall pick. White had already committed to a full ride at Vanderbilt, but he said he's going to sign with the Marlins instead. The projected value of his 35th pick is $2.42 million.
Well, during the All-Star break, it's a good chance to check up on all the stars that were there. Obviously not Red Sox players, but you've been, since this year, you've been updating us from time to time on where they are now and what they are doing, referring to, of course, former Red Sox players. So what do you have for us this week, Andy?
Well, we'll start things off with the Mookie Betts update for the Dodgers, batting .276 at the All-Star break, 26 home runs, 62 RBI. He was an NL All-Star. His teammate, J.D. Martinez, .255 average, 22 home runs, 62 RBIs, also an All-Star in the National League. Nathan Eovaldi, who I already mentioned this morning for the Rangers, he's 10-3 at the break with a 2.83 ERA. He was an American League All-Star, of course. Xander Bogaerts, the Padres, .253, 10 home runs, 35 runs batted in. Michael Walker of the Padres, 8-2, a 2.84 ERA, but he's currently on the 15-day injured list with shoulder fatigue.
Well, we have the heat outside today, Andy, and the Red Sox were red hot heading into the All-Star break, and I'm sure the winning continues today on Nesson Plus, but I could be wrong. What's up?
Well, if you want to stay cool, just sit back in the living room and put your feet up with a nice cold iced tea and have the AC blaring and watch the Red Sox on Nesson Plus, a game from July 13th of 2004. First pitch is at 1 o'clock. Red Sox blanking the Astros 11-0 behind a complete game by Clay Buchholz. Brock Holt led the offense, going 5-for-6 with a home run.
All right. Nice memories. There you go. All right.
Absolutely.
All right. So why don't you give us your thoughts or some recap notes from the baseball All-Star game played earlier this week?
Well, the 93rd All-Star game was played on Tuesday at T-Mobile Park in Seattle. National League snapped a 9-game losing streak with a 3-2 win over the American League. Sox closer Kenley Jansen struck out the only batter he faced in this game. He did it on three pitches. Rockies catcher Elias Diaz won the Ted Williams All-Star Game MVP award. He had a two-run homer in the bottom of the eighth that put the National League ahead today at 3-2.
All right, so there's the All-Star update, but there are a lot of other player news, notes, and so on from the past week around outside of New England, if you will. What can you share with us?
Well, back on Monday night in Seattle, the Blue Jays' Vladimir Guerrero Jr. won the home run derby. Vlad Jr. joined Senior Guerrero, who back in 2007 had won the home run derby. They become the first father-son combo to win that event.
Mm-hmm. All right. What else?
Well, Marlins infielder Luis Arraez has chased the 400. He starts the second half of the season batting 383. It seems like once he came to Fenway to play the Red Sox a week or so ago, his averages started to tail off from that 400 mark, but see if he can pick things up as the second half gets going. He also had two hits in the All-Star game, so hopefully that'll get him going and maybe make that mark for 400. We'll have to see. Last Friday, the Braves hit their 167th home run. That's the most in history for a team before the All-Star break. On Saturday, Tigers pitcher Matt Manning and two relievers combined to no-hit the Blue Jays. Also on Saturday, Reds shortstop Ellie De La Cruz stole second, third, and home during the same at-bat. He is an explosive player and definitely someone you want to watch, if at all possible. He's very exciting.
All right, all that sounds good. I got to follow up with a Red Sox question when we get to the end here, but you also have are there some other Red Sox notes here?
Well, on Monday, the Yankees named former Red Sox first baseman and current MLB Network analyst Sean Casey as the new hitting coach. Casey, a close friend of Yankees manager Aaron Boone. They played together with the Reds from 1997 to 2003. The A's are starting to make their move to Las Vegas. MLB Commissioner Rob Manfred said on Tuesday that the team has begun to submit information related to their relocation application. The A's are planning to build a 30,000-seat ballpark on the Tropicana Hotel site along the Las Vegas Strip. Projects backed by the Nevada State Legislature, which approved a $380 million bill to help fund the project. The A's hope to open the new stadium ahead of the 2028 season.
All right, now I've been tipped off that you're going to close it out here with a little international baseball news for us.
That we are. Major League Baseball yesterday, they said they're going to play their first ever game in South Korea. The Dodgers and Padres will open the 2024 season in Seoul, March 20th and 21st. It'll be the ninth international opener in history. MLB also announced yesterday the Astros and Rockies will play in Mexico City on April 27th and 28th. The league had previously announced that the Mets and Phillies will have a two-game series in June of next year in London.
All right, and you sometimes bring us a sad note or two, so we close it out with what, Andy, today?
Well, White Sox closer Liam Hendricks was honored last night following his battle with cancer. The pitcher accepted the Jimmy V Award for Perseverance at the 2023 ESPYs in Los Angeles.
All right, so Andy, I got to ask you this question. There's a lot of buzz. There's some buzz around about who the Red Sox might pick up for a free agent, or if they ever will at all moving forward. What are you hearing? Any buzz about the Red Sox looking to sign free agents down the road?
Well, of course, the real buzz right now is will the Angels trade pitcher designated hitter Shohei Ohtani before the trade deadline? His contract up at the end of this year. He'll be a free agent next year. The Angels seem to be headed the wrong way in terms of playoff contention this year. Mike Trout's going to be out for a while longer with a broken hand. So will the Angels try to cash in and get what they can for Ohtani and try to build up the organization? Because most likely he will not re-sign with the team. So a little bit of that buzz is starting. I really don't see it happening for the Red Sox to make that kind of move and bring Ohtani here. But, you know, it would be very interesting to see. And obviously there would be a huge addition to the offense and the defense of this team, areas that obviously you could both use some help in. But, I see him going elsewhere. Because then if you trade him, you got to make sure you can re-sign him, because you're going to have to give up a lot to get him. And make sure you're going to have to re-sign him to the long contract extension. So what's the point of giving up a lot of prospects and talent if you're just going to walk away at the end of the year anyways?
Well, maybe we could have him for August and September. How about that, Andy? What's wrong with that?
Huh? Well, yeah, it's all well and good, but, if you give up a lot of talent for him and he walks away and you don't make the playoffs, so you only get to the wild card round, or what's really the point?
Well, us old guys, Andy, I mean, I'm talking about myself now. I mean, if we could have Ohtani here for at least a couple of months, who knows? Maybe we won't be around next year, or I won't be around. You never know. You know, let's do it. Let's pull the trigger. Let's get this guy. Yeah.
Well, we'll have to see if John Henry wants to see if he can make that happen.
Yeah. Thinking of me. All right. But, all right. By the way, never mind. All right. Andy, anything else you want to share with us today?
Well, it'll just be interesting to see how the Red Sox start off the second half of the season, just a few weeks to go before the trade deadline at the end of the month. So this six-game road trip will be key in Chicago, then in Oakland, see if the Red Sox can get any closer to that final wild card spot. Will the Red Sox be sellers or buyers at the end of the month?
You know, with the salary stuff, Andy, can the Yankees go after Ohtani? I mean, that would be seemingly the organization that would go after him. But could they?
They could, absolutely. I mean, the Mets could also go after him. They seem to have endless amounts of money to play with. I mean, obviously, they're just going to pay a luxury tax if they go over their allotment. So, teams don't mind spending that if they're spending the money anyways for talent. What's a couple million more here and there and everywhere for the luxury tax? So that's possible. Other teams that could be looking at Ohtani, of course, the Dodgers, who will stay right in Los Angeles. Even the Giants could be an option as well. And the Mariners have been a team linked to Ohtani at this time. So will he want to stay on the West Coast? Will he come to the East Coast? Or will he just stay in Anaheim until the end of the season and then the free agent battle begins?
Yeah, I got to think the Angels have got to pull the trigger on a trade here. But that's just me.
Yeah, you would think so, but yeah. Who knows?
You got it. All right, Andy, good talking with you. Andy Carbone, our baseball insider here with us on MSONewsSports.com.